Blog Talk Radio.
Show, boys. What y'all got for
him
today?
What up, world? Your boy, Bone.
See?
What's going on?
That's all he's going to give you. I know I said every week. That's all he give you every week. So, get used to it. He come alive. He'll come alive. You pay attention. Stick with us. Stand tight. Going into the end of note. Here we go, boys. First topic on the end of note. What's at stake for the Miami Heat in the 2014 NBA Finals? Now, I had decided to keep this one to the end, but I'm going to go into it now. Chris Bosh was clearly the least dominant member of the trio when the Big Three was put together in Miami, right? With the ability to become a free agent this summer, Bosh could use a boost to ensure he could command near max money on the open market. This is all compared, this is all in relation to what's at stake this year for the Heat in the finals. A big performance versus San Antonio could solidify his status as a player any team would be lucky to have at any price, not just a secondary score. What you think? Because basically, from this point of view, it's saying Bosh is suspended.
I personally think Chris Bosh will always be Chris Bosh. Now, is Chris Bosh marketable? Yes, he is. He has a game that I think two-thirds of the league will find valuable to their team. Do I think winning the championship this year will change Chris Bosh's stock? Not really.
What about his performance?
His performance in the finals, I think, will set the bar for what he may be able to receive in the free agency market. That's just what I think.
I think, yeah, I mean, of course, okay, I agree with that, because if he go out there and just bake it up,
right,
the stock going to drop.
Right.
Oh, he's going to be really
shine, yeah. The stock going to rise. So to that extent, yeah, I guess, but I'm saying I don't think it's going to be that big of a, if it be a big jump, it'll be on the decline side.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, yeah. Like, if anything, he can hurt himself.
Right. He can hurt himself more than he can help himself, in my opinion.
Right,
I
right.
I could be wrong.
Right, but that, but like I said, this is throwing out there because we're trying to see what's the stake for the Miami Heat in this year's finals. Now, me personally, I think if Bosh has a good finals, it's a possibility. They may keep him. It raises the chance they'll keep him. I think Bosh out of there.
You think
he out of there. I think he out of there more because they can get more if they get rid of Bosh to put around keeping Wade. If not, you got an issue with help with Wade.
So what you
got LeBron.
So they use him as a means of getting more help
for LeBron.
For LeBron.
Okay. Do you think that formula, that big three, was work next year? We don't even know if it's going to work this year.
I do.
Listen, I say let it work until it don't work.
Exactly.
That's how I say.
I wouldn't mess with it. But I think he's going
to knock it off.
This our business?
I personally would like to see them stay together. I understand the business side that somebody may have to go, and if anybody go, it'll probably be Chris Bosh.
Yeah.
But I personally think for the team and those players individually, they just need to stay together, man.
Yeah, I agree. I would love to see them stay together. I would love to see them finish out their dynasty together. But we've seen the Bulls couldn't do it. They won three together with one set, and then they had another set for the next three. Which, I mean, it was a lot going on in between that time. So different times, different scopes, and different folks. Now, moving on. We're still on the stake, at stake for the Miami Heat in the 2014 NBA Finals. For Coach Spoelstra, which is Eric Spoelstra. Another championship would not do the trick as far as solidifying him as great, I don't think. Now, that's in my personal opinion. I think, unfortunately, he'll have to prove his ability as a coach apart from LeBron for somebody to say he's a great coach. That's just me.
I agree with you.
Because he's kind of the most awarded coach in the league and not spoken of coach in the league.
I don't think I could go that route. He's winning. I don't care. He's a coach. His team is winning. Why can't he get what he deserved by his team winning? How many years has he been a head coach in the league?
I think about it. How long LeBron been now? When LeBron came, I believe.
When LeBron came, was he there?
09.
Wasn't he there when they got the first one?
No, that was Pat Riley.
Okay, well, whatever. At the end of the day, you can't take away from him because of we ain't doing it for Jackson.
I just want to say that apart from Phil Jackson being a good actual NBA player and Coach Spoke not. Besides that, I look at him the same. I mean, first three people, Phil Jackson got a little bit of
right,
but he ain't blow up to be the greatest
right,
thing
right.
since sliced bread.
That's
until
true.
You know
he had to go to LA really.
Really,
he had to go somewhere else.
Right.
And he went and inherited pieces there.
Yeah,
right. So Phil Jackson actually is a bad comparison because he's always had good players.
Exactly.
So
in his winning,
could we say on that tip that Spoelstra is almost kind of like LeBron?
Mm.
To measure him great, we kind of unfairly measuring him like LeBron is always unfairly measured.
Yeah, but there's a lot of other great coaches that we like. Pop is a great coach.
But you know Pop is a great coach. We say Pop is a great coach. We don't necessarily say that about Spoelstra.
No, I'm saying there's other coaches that you can compare Spoelstra to.
Oh,
directly to Phil Jackson.
Yeah, that's true.
That was just...
Well, because
the comparison, I made that comparison based off of the talent that a brand new coach received.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Phil Jackson received Michael Jordan, and then he built around that. You know, he received Dwayne Wade and LeBron James and Chris Bosh.
Yeah.
Like all in one walk, really.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So, are we saying we don't think Spoelstra would be winning to the level he's winning without?
We don't know.
We
don't
know, and that's That's it. Now, moving on from Coach Spoelstra, D-Wade. D-Wade, what's at stake for him in this finals is, no matter how well D-Wade performs in the series, his stats will always be questioned. Because while he was instrumental in the Heat winning the three-peat, if they win, this is just me speaking hypothetically, he was only asked to do it while resting his weary body half of the season, which allowed the forefront for LeBron to take over the role of the franchise player. So does that kind of diminish? We go back to 06. That's D. Wade championship. Even though Shaq was there, the last four years, everything they've done has shifted to LeBron.
I think what we are seeing is the role that Shaq played for D. Wade. D. Wade is not playing for LeBron. A different position.
Yeah.
That's not what I mean by role. I'm just saying the feeling. Shaq was the help.
Right.
For Wade.
Right.
Now Wade is the help for LeBron.
But on Wade's team,
didn't we already know that though? When LeBron came though,
the question was how would it work? Would he be able to step aside? He did. Yeah.
That's a luxury.
To be able to even have to do that.
But speaking on the impact this championship, this finals will have, if they win, do you think it changes the outlook on Wade if he has a great performance? Do you still see it as LeBron?
You have no choice but to see it
as LeBron.
If Wade played the whole season, you see it as LeBron. Because he is the star of the team. I hate to say it that way, but it's the truth.
With that being said, this is what's at stake, and from my opinion, for LeBron in this NBA 2014 Finals. LeBron James, at this point, sees his acquiring accomplishment with little difficulty. Pre-championship seasons are rarely mentioned, which that means, basically, we don't talk about when he was losing no more. We talk about now, in the now. How many championships will he get? We don't even think about how many we said, man, he'll never live up to what he's supposed to be.
Right.
In my opinion, LeBron would receive more attention from a third straight title than a loss.
I don't think I agree with you on that one.
No. I think him losing would be bigger than him winning.
Yeah. I think
you expect him to win at this point.
So you think it'll receive more attention if you lose?
Absolutely.
The reason I think it'll receive more attention if they win is because winning this year with a less powerful supporting cast and a perfectly positioned Spurs team that really looked like they're in the perfect position to get revenge and win. LeBron is more acceptable a place amongst the greats.
I understand the Spurs position. I understand that they're coming in loaded. I understand it. They don't have the best player on the planet on their team.
Yeah, right. But
so you expect LeBron to be Jordan right now. It didn't matter who Jordan faced. It didn't matter.
So you don't think him beating this Spurs team would solidify more than beating the Spurs team last year?
What I'm saying is whoever he beats is expected. When you lose, that's when it's going to go downhill. So I should let you finish because you might ask the question yourself, so I'm going to let you finish what you got.
That's it on far as they take on the 2014, on the stakes, as far as what can come of them winning the finals this year.
Okay, so then my question would be, would it be more impressive? And I think we may have just answered this question. For LeBron and the Heat to go three straight, or for Tim Duncan to get his fifth?
Tim Duncan, for me, it is not just because of his fifth and because he beat LeBron. I think those two factors alone would make it huge for Tim Duncan. Yeah, he could just retire and go out on top.
Right.
I beat the King. I got a fifth ring. I'm gone.
What else do I want?
There's nothing else for me to do. I'm gone.
If he wins, do you think he retires?
Yeah. I think he'll retire last year if they won.
You think so?
And that's why I really believe in a better position, because I think he came back with a mission. I think it's almost like we've seen Dallas when they finally got back, and it was just perfect for them to have Miami that year.
Well, it's shaping up to be an interesting finals. One thing I don't want to see is what we saw last year, that blowout.
You
want to
see close games. If it goes seven, you want to see close games.
Yeah.
Moving into that point, the next topic, and I probably should have put this out here, the whole in the know is pretty much based around the NBA Finals.
Cool.
And I'm also put this out here, just so everyone knows, when we do the in the know, we don't usually take calls, because more so we can move through it kind of quickly. But if you have any questions or comments or replies, when we get finished, go ahead. We'll take those. So I'm going to move forward. Are we still in the end? No. Spurs. This is the next topic. Spurs are better than Heat for this NBA Finals rematch, I believe. San Antonio. And I'm going to tell you why. San Antonio Spurs are returning to the NBA Finals for a grudge match against the Miami Heat. They're going to win. It's a grudge match. It's a revenge. Two, Tony Parker will be playing in game one. Unfortunately, he's nursing a sprained ankle. So it could be a downfall, but we don't know. The Spurs have home court advantage. Last year the Heat had. They needed it. So that's another up for the Spurs. That's why I think they're better off. Ginobili is Ginobili. It ain't the Ginobili we seen last year. This is the Ginobili we've known to come accustomed to. Duncan is Duncan. And he's on a mission. Tim Duncan stated, and I quote, this was after they beat OKC in game six. "We got four more to win. We'll do it this time." End quote. Tim Duncan. It's Tim Duncan I'm talking about there just now.
It's quiet, man.
Now, in my opinion, listen, I'm going for the Heat because I want LeBron to be the best he can be. I'm just going to be honest. I may be biased in that point, and I'm a Jordan fan, but I really want him to be the best he can be because I think the ceiling on him has been put so high, it's almost impossible to reach. But in that, I think he still can be surpassed what we've talked about on many occasions, Jordan's establishment. But Tim Duncan saying, "All we need is four more, and we'll get it done." It's me a little weary. Ginobili, Parker is going to be Parker.
Wait, but you don't think the Heat know the same thing?
Only reason that makes me nervous.
He knew the same thing when playing Dallas. Tim
Duncan don't say nothing.
Yes, that's why I say Tim Duncan.
Tim Duncan doesn't say anything. So for Tim Duncan to say all we need is four more games, that means, for me, that means he bringing it. And he's going to leave it all out on the court. And Tim Duncan leaving it all on the court
is dangerous.
Okay. All right.
And you got to remember now.
I get all that.
He forgot last year.
I get all that.
And that's apparent.
Are you more afraid of Tim Duncan bringing it and leaving it all on the court, or LeBron bringing it and leaving it all on the court?
LeBron is supposed to bring it.
We saying.
But we all know from what was that game what?
What it was, game six?
Point I'm trying to make.
Five?
I don't think we've ever seen LeBron bring it and leave it all
on
the
court.
Exactly. So if Tim Duncan is going to bring it and make him elevate his game, then bring it.
Yeah. Do we have to make him, though? That's my issue.
We have to make him.
That's my issue. But we know Tim is focused. And see, this is why I say I think San Antonio has a better chance, because if Tim Duncan is focused, I'm willing to believe Tim Duncan can get there without you telling him to go there.
He's already there.
Yeah. But we don't know if LeBron is the game star.
He has to be there.
He got
to
be there.
San Antonio has to be there. Miami tend to play according to their competition.
True.
Now, if San Antonio come and take a night off, you're going to see Miami take a night off. But I don't think you're going to see San Antonio taking a night off. So they could come in and take game one.
But you kind of think Miami's going to take a night off.
Game one.
Okay. And see, that's where me and Bone pretty much saying that's where San Antonio can creep in.
I don't think they got enough to keep them. I don't think they got enough to hold them down. I just don't. If anybody can do it, it's going to be them.
But I don't think
it's going to
happen. Ginobili, that brings a whole different dynamic this year. But it's still yet to be seen if Ginobili is going to be Ginobili in the finals. So we don't know.
This year's finals has the potential of being
one of
the greatest finals we'll ever have the opportunity of seeing.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
It had the potential last year.
It did. Yeah. But yeah, it didn't work. It didn't play out.
It was like, man, what are we watching? Game 7. Actually, Game 6.
Game 6 was the best game.
Yeah.
The best game, yeah. Then you knew going into Game 7 was over.
Yeah.
You knew it was
we're
over.
Going back from
like in a way, game. If you lost Game 6, you might have laid out the second. You gave him another chance. It's over. 38 seconds. 38 seconds in that game. Crack. Next topic. Spurs Heat have pretty much everyone split. Nope. Just like us today. There's nobody just saying it's an outright win because you have to give the Spurs a chance this year.
Wait, so y'all don't believe Miami going to win?
I believe Miami is going to win, but I'm not blind to the fact that it's a possibility that San Antonio can take this.
That's always out there. The possibility is always there.
Nope, I didn't think that last year.
You did?
No, I was mad when San Antonio was showing me that it could beat them. This year, if San Antonio go to beat them, close down shop. It's a wrap. It's almost like when we watched them lose to Dallas that first year they went to the final. You knew it was over. You kept hope, but you kind of knew Dallas had untook it.
I just don't see it.
If San Antonio come out and have their way in game one, I'm nervous. Because it's in Miami.
A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the best player in the league at that given point in time. And I said, at that point when we were having that conversation, that it was Kevin Durant. Because he was on the streak and he was, you know, team or whatever the case may be. LeBron told that same person when the press asked Kevin Durant about championships and this, that, and the third, he asked the question and LeBron came back and said, well, he need not worry about that until I retire. When I heard that, I was convinced. It don't matter. The man has in his mind right now that can't nobody beat him. So in my mind, anybody can beat him. Tim Duncan, sorry, I like you. You'll go down. You will retire as the greatest to play your position. You have full championship.
I get it. I agree. I understand it. You got a lot of faith in LeBron. I'm a little weird, but I do want him to win. You throw some stats out there because they're on the split of the Spurs and the Heat for the finals. The Spurs have home court advantage. The Heat are mediocre on the road. They're 22-19 on the season. In the playoffs, they're 4-3. On the back side of that, San Antonio is 32-9 in the regular season and 9-1 in the playoffs.
Wasn't those stats something similar last year? Was it similar stats last year?
I'm not sure. I think the Heat, because the Heat had the best record, so that's just the best record. I couldn't tell you the home court.
I'm ready to get it started, me personally.
Me too. You got Tony Parker with a sprained ankle, which may prove to be San Antonio's Achilles heel. We don't know that yet. Wow.
Well, that's a wash, though.
Yeah.
That's a wash because we don't know what we're going to get from Wade.
That's what I was just going to say. D-Wade is healthy and playing well offensively and defensively, but we don't know how long that's going to last. You got Miami may have a deeper roster, granted, given time and contributions. And, of course, they got LeBron James. So, I mean, you can't – LeBron kind of sits by himself. But it's up to LeBron. That's the problem. Then you got Ginobili as a resurfaced. So that's another advantage for the Spurs. And they got a grudge. And then when you look at it, The truth of the matter is, the team we watching right now, the Heat playing, the Heat team we watching right now, is not the same team we seen 6 weeks ago. This is a whole different team. So you can't compare kind of the season to this team that took it off now. So
right.
It kind of, that's why it split, that it kind of eases it out. It's going to be a good series.
Yeah, man.
And I think we said that already.
I think it'll be a good series, but I don't think it's going to be what it can
be. You don't think it's going to be
really
close?
You think it's going
to be 7? Ooh.
Better question.
Mm.
Do you think either team, well, of course, either team has a chance to blow out, but if a team, a sweep, who's more likely to sweep?
If there's a sweep?
Yeah. If there's a sweep, who's more likely?
San Antonio.
Oh, man, well, how you going to go against San Antonio?
Listen, if there's a sweep,
that's the only way.
It's going to be San Antonio.
If it goes 7, Miami's going to win. I believe.
Anything other than a sweep, Miami's going to win. 5, 6, or 7, Miami taking it. But if it's a sweep, it's going to be San Antonio. I don't see Miami sweeping San Antonio.
If we're saying that, then we don't believe San Antonio got more fight than Miami.
I don't.
I mean, Miami just basically got to lay down.
I think they are a better team than Miami.
But when that dog come out,
I don't think they can.
They can't outplay the dog Miami has when it shows up. I believe that, too. I totally agree. And closing up the end note for this week, or for the day, I should say, not the week. I decided to do something a little out of the box, but we stayed inside the finals. And I wanted to post you guys what's at stake for Tim Duncan in the 2014 NBA Finals. Being that we pretty much, we feel as if they win or lose, this may be his last season. It's not guaranteed, but at this point, you see him probably leaving off into the sunset soon. Me, personally, I don't think nothing's at stake for him.
With Tim Duncan?
I don't think anything, and I'm going to explain why. Tim Duncan's legacy has already been stamped in the minds of basketball fans, pretty much. Above all else, he has personified class, leadership, and humbleness. Yes, another reign will be nice. And to dethrone the king, LeBron James, will probably be commendable. But the truth is, Tim Duncan is the greatest example of a champion I have ever witnessed. He exudes class, respect, humility, and leadership. He is the greatest power forward, and I would not mind him being my son's godfather. That's how I feel about Tim Duncan.
Oh, that's nice and cute. I get that. But to what you were saying, the one word that stood out was that humility.
Yeah.
And what that brings is, if Tim Duncan win, you don't talk about it. And if Tim Duncan lose,
you don't talk about it. That's why I said it doesn't matter if what happens in this finals. It's already stamped in our head. Where you think Tim Duncan sits.
Yeah, well.
To me, and I say it again, in case you missed it the first time, he is the greatest champion I've ever witnessed.
I heard you. I just want to argue with you.
I ain't figure I get too much argument, but I was prepared. You know me, I'm always prepared because I was strong on this one, so I was thinking like, I had some fight.
Win or lose, like you said, win or lose, Tim Duncan is going to be the same.
Yeah.
If LeBron lose, though.
Yeah.
It's something to it. I mean, either he's going to show some kind of emotion or Tim Duncan is solid. That's it. You know what you're getting with Tim Duncan. And it's always been that all the way through his career. He went to work. He went home. Came back to work. It was never, you ain't heard nothing about Tim Duncan off the court. I'm not trying to jinx him. But this is the truth. How many NBA stars, superstars, we can say with championships, we can say that you don't have nothing to talk about outside of their basketball game?
That's it. Nothing. His personal life is personal.
Personal.
And that's the way it should be.
And on the court, he about business.
He's a professor. That being said, good luck to you.
Hey, I wish him the best. I would hope that you could go out in a crappy way and win you another title. But I'm rooting for LeBron.
Nah, I don't want him to win another title.
Not this year.
Nah, man. But definitely, much respect.
Yeah, much respect to Tim Duncan, man. I mean, We appreciate that, you know, because it's hard nowadays to find that, and that's very welcome for us. With that, we're moving to the show, boy. Today's show is titled, nicely titled, I Think I'm in Love.
I think I'm in love. All right, so where are we going with this one?
Listen. Since I think I'm in love, I don't know for sure. I positively believe I am, but the statement is a statement. I think I'm in love.
You think?
See. Go ahead.
B. Love is something that I feel like men have a hard time talking about at times. Whether it be, I think you're more prone to talk about it with your boys or your friends or whatever than you are to talk about it with your lady. That makes no sense to me. Why is it?
Just the way we program, man. I don't have an answer to why.
And I'm sitting there
that way, but just the way we program. You know,
it's kind of too late, but are we sure you want to dive into this right now?
Yeah, what we gonna do? We there. We there.
The first topic or subtopic to the show is intellectualization, and I worked all week on that word, intellectualization. Mm-hmm. Definition or the description of that is, or one of them, I won't say D. Excuse me. Intellectualization, there we go, is a flight into reason where the person avoids uncomfortable emotions by focusing on facts and logic. The situation is treated as an interesting problem that engages the person on a rational basis, whilst the emotional aspects are completely ignored as being irrelevant.
Now,
I guess the first question, and I'm put y'all on the spot.
Yeah, I feel it coming.
And puts y'all on the spot. What is love? What defines love? How do you know that you love a person?
I can give you the simple answer, what you probably going to get 9 times out of 10 if you ask somebody. When I can't be without somebody. When all I do is think of that person. When I do things that I'm not accustomed to doing for anybody else. I realize in the moment, I take that back. I don't even realize I'm doing things that I wouldn't do. And afterwards, you look back on it and reflect. And the first thing you say is, I must be loved, huh? Now, some may say I'm misplacing love. I don't know.
Okay, that's what it is to you.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's a more difficult question than it probably seems.
Yeah.
That's why I asked.
You know.
Yeah.
Love is generally used to describe an emotional feeling, I guess you could call it. But sometimes within its description, you lose that emotion. Like you just said, things that you do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Things that you would not normally do for somebody else. I feel like it should be more to the word than we really give it. But for whatever reason, I lack the words to use. That
express
it, yeah. Or describe it.
Yeah, the feeling.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a difficult question. I don't know. I guess that was my answer.
Okay. Yeah, I thought about this for like, I would go this route. Love can't be defined.
I'll take that.
Love just is what it is. Nobody else can tell me what love is for me. You understand what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
There is no, this is just my opinion. There is no standard when it comes to love. Now, the difficult part is, why do we define love by the things we do? Because most people that I know, that's the first thing they say.
Yeah.
I love you because I.
Yeah, true. The funny thing about it is, though, it's kind of almost as if you want to put some kind of attachment to love because you want to express it. Because if you've given it, you want to find some kind of way to validate it. But, like you said, it's probably unexplainable. And it speaks for itself. Really, I shouldn't have to tell you I love you.
Exactly. If I have to tell you that, that means I'm just taking it step by step. If I have to express that I love you, then that means that you don't know that. And by you not knowing that, that means that I'm not. There's something that I'm doing that's not relaying the message to you.
I agree.
Now, that either happens because either A, you just can't receive my language, you don't understand my language,
mm-hmm.
or B, because I don't know what I'm saying to you.
True.
You know, some people just need confirmation. They can know you love them. You can do all the things to make them feel like, you know, they're loved. Say the things that you would say to someone you love, but they still got to hear it.
But see, at that point, it's just words.
But see, and then this is where
You get kind of yeah.
Murky.
Yeah, the water gets murky.
You get murky. Love in itself is like a murky pond. Now, I'm going to be completely honest with you, because I thought I've been in love before.
Yeah.
And then when I found love, I realized that what I thought was love must not have been love.
Wait now. And I'm gonna call you for the simple reason that we're talking about the state of loving versus being in love. You say you thought you were in love. My opinion is people fall in and out of love. I could fall in and out of love with you, but that never changes the fact that I love you. I can love you and not be in love with you. Do y'all agree or disagree?
I mean, I can love you and not like you.
So, you know, you think loving and being in love go hand in hand?
Love is a strong word for me. I don't throw that around too lightly.
We just talking about it.
Though. Yeah, I understand.
Right, I get it. I get it too. I'm trying to sit here and play it back in my head and see, do I believe you can love someone and not be in love with me? Yeah. Yeah. But I believe once you love, you love.
Do you love them or you got love for them?
No, I love them. See, that got love for stuff, I don't understand that. It's either you love them or you don't. It ain't no I got love for you. To me, I don't know what that means. What does that mean when you say that? I got love for you. What?
Well, it's all for me, and this may be crazy, but I love y'all as brothers. But I love my wife in a whole nother love.
Right, there's different types of love, but love is what it is.
So if I say I got love for you, that's more me reflecting that towards a friendship. When
you
I say
feel awkward saying I love my own wife.
And then that might be the whole point of it, the awkwardness.
I mean,
that might be the whole point of it.
We know there's no extracurricular stuff going on. We just talking. So it's easier to say I got love for you than to say I love you to someone other than your significant other or your wife or whoever that person that you're in that type of relationship with.
For me.
I get that. But I don't want to say but. I get that. And I'm trying to stay with the topic because the intellectualization and thinking that you're in love, you should always know that you love or you don't. And I think a lot of the reason why relationship statuses are the way they are is because love is not understood for me.
That's true. And I think you're making me understand something in explaining this because if I say if I love my wife, I'm never out of love with you. I may be displeased with her at the time. So in that moment, I may say, okay, I don't want to be around her. So I equate that to being out of love with her. But.
And it may be. I'm just saying, I don't know.
Right.
It's possible that the love will never change, but I believe that people fall, that you go in and out of the
love.
State.
Right.
The things that we do determine whether you're in or out. Just like on a post I posted a couple of days ago, a couple of weeks ago, whenever, I don't know what it was. The point I was trying to make is me loving you will make sure that you have food.
Right.
Me being in love with you will mean that I get up and cook for you.
Mm-hmm.
You may do something that I don't love. Or you may do something that, or it may not even be, it's going to have to be something you did. You do something that, you know, like you said, we displeased with each other, right?
Right.
It's hard to do the things that you do in an angry state that you would do in a happy state.
Yeah, true. That's where intellectualization plays a part.
Right, because now I'm not focused on the fact that you're still the same person.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not focused on the facts that made me love you in the first place. I'm focused on what you just did to get me to the point where now I'm angry with you, and that changes what I will do for you because I've intellectualized my emotion. I think it's impossible. I think it's impossible for you to think about love. Not impossible. I think it's detrimental. That's the word I want to use. It's possible because we do it, but I think it's detrimental. If you love somebody and you know that, then you understand that that person is human.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that that person is going to make mistakes. You understand, you should understand that you and that person ain't always going to be on the best of terms. There are going to be some things that you do that upset them, that they do that upset you. At the end of the day, should that change, what I do for you? Now, I just said I know it happens because I
right.
do. But should it?
No, if we grasp the whole concept, and then this too, I got to point this out. When I was looking up intellectualization, I think it was a defense mechanism.
Right.
So which means it kicks in when things go array on basically in your makeup as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I seen and said was removing oneself emotionally from a stressful event.
Mm-hmm.
Love causes a lot of stressful events. Not so much love, but the person you're in love with, you can be more stressed in an event with them than you would be with somebody you don't love. So then, emotionally, like you're saying, we remove ourselves from it, which brings back pretty much to your point why you fall into when you're not happy, you don't react that
way. Exactly.
It's a defense mechanism.
We tend to, and when I say we, I mean the male species, men.
Right.
We tend to, the emotions that we're free to express or that we are comfortable expressing are most times the negative emotions.
Right.
Right. I don't have a problem letting you know I'm angry.
Right.
I don't have a problem letting you know I'm upset. I don't have a problem letting you know that you scarred our trust. I don't have a problem letting you know anything that might fall into that negative category. But when it comes to sitting down and having the conversation as to why I love you, this is why none of us can sit here and say definitively and without thinking about it what love is. Because we don't have that conversation.
Yeah.
Because that opens up a door that we're not comfortable opening. At the same time, how can you get the best of love without being willing to take the worst of love? What I mean is, I don't think that it's possible for you to love a person genuinely and not open yourself up to being hurt.
Yeah, I agree.
You have to accept the hurt in order to allow yourself to love.
Yeah,
I agree. You don't want to be hurt, and you're going to put barriers up to keep yourself from being hurt, then you'll never give love like you may be able to.
Totally agree. And to that point, I believe you have to understand that, because on the other side, it works the same way.
Yes.
Because at some point, you're going to hurt them, the other party, and you still expect them to love. So, yeah, I totally agree. Because in love, we know hurt comes.
It happens. It happens.
It strengthens love, basically.
You learn that through experience. Though.
Yeah.
You know, good experiences mostly, but a lot of bad ones too. You know, you sat here and you describe basically me when you talk about walls up and, you know, love is so strong that depending on how it is developed, it could either boost you or scar you. It's an emotional thing. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you when you say you can't, that trying to intellectualize love is a contradiction, basically.
Yeah, it is.
You can't intellectualize love. You can't do it because it's a blind emotion. That you hear people say you can't help who you love. That doesn't make sense, but it makes sense when you talk about love. You can't. I mean, you can hate them to they core,
but
you love them.
And that's what sparks that hate. Because you have
that much love for them. So love is a strong, weird, confusing mess.
You know what? I'm going to go as far as saying,
I'm calling.
I don't believe that it's hate. I don't think that's the right word. I think that because we'll put it this way. Let's use Jane and Jim, just for simple. If Jim hurt Jane, Jane don't have a problem saying you hurt me.
True.
And she want to talk about it. Because she want to get over it. Why? Because the same way she don't mind saying you hurt me, she don't mind saying I love you. Whereas Jim, when he get hurt, it's now I'm lashing out. I ain't going to let you know you hurt me because I feel like I'm weak now. I ain't going to let you know that, you know what I'm saying, you pulled something out of me with whatever it is you just did. What I'm trying to say is I think once we get to the point where we can openly discuss emotion without feeling an oxymoron,
mm-hmm.
You discuss emotion without feeling some kind of way about it, then I think your relationships will start to, what's the word I'm looking for, flourish.
Yeah.
Whatever type of relationship it is. When we hurt, that's like you say, them walls go up.
Yeah.
I'm going to make sure nobody else do this to me anymore. I don't care who you are. I don't care how I feel about you. I don't care how you feel about me. This part of me won't feel this way no more. But in saying that, what you're saying is, I won't allow myself to love you like that anymore. True or fair?
I agree with that. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I believe at all costs, especially as men, we should express if it's hurt or if it's good to our significant other. Just because, even for a man, I'm going to tell you, and this is a personal stance, this is me speaking for myself. The issue becomes, the reason why I don't want to open up a lot of times is because I'm taking the chance of giving you everything I got and telling you, on the backside of it, you hurt me, and I'm giving you everything I got, explaining you hurt me and telling you, okay, this is what you did wrong, and you may say to me in return, I don't feel like I did anything wrong.
What's up? Well, at the end of the day, they have that right.
Yeah.
They can say that.
But that rejection, and now I done opened up, causes me in the future
right.
to close down.
Maybe it's just that I can't open up to you like that. It ain't that it shouldn't stop me from opening up because I have to live with me.
Right.
And if I don't open up, that means I have to carry whatever it is you just gave me.
Right.
Because
right.
I can't release it. No. I need to learn how to release this. And if the only way I can release this is to go to the source and release it, I can't worry about how you're going to take it or how you're going to respond. Your response will only tell me how I deal with you in the future.
Makes sense.
If I hold this, you go on living like ain't nothing wrong. Why? Because ain't nothing wrong. I ain't tell you nothing other than a couple of days where we was mad, we weren't talking this, that, and the third. We over that now. Life goes on for you. But now I'm sitting here carrying all this you didn't gave me. I ain't never let it go.
Which I get. What happens, though, when I give it to you and nothing changes it again? It's still the same. I get the same scenario as if I kept it.
Okay, now I ain't giving it to you, but I still got to get rid of it. So now I need to give it to who I probably should have gave it to the first time.
Well, then that makes, then there it is.
You know what I'm saying? Now
then
you,
there it is.
I should have, yeah. In releasing it, I have to go to where love comes from.
Right.
Because right. You're the only person who's going to understand it. If they did it, I'm going to say it like this. A person who hurt you knowingly, probably don't care that they hurt you.
True.
Because they knew they was doing it and they did it. So me coming to tell you you hurt me, it really ain't...
Right.
Wasting your breath.
Pretty much. Now I have to give that to the source. I have to give that to where I know I can release this and I can be free from it. I let that deal with you.
Right.
I can't deal with you.
You know what? That makes sense. That makes total sense. They told the sense. And then, I mean, when you look at it, and I always say that God is love, so you do have to go back to the source. Now, of course, if you can get through to your significant other by mm-hmm. expressing yourself,
yeah, go for it.
Hey, that's great. But at the end of the day, because if you love this person and God gives love, genuinely, he puts you with this person. If it may not, listen to me now, listen to me well. It may not necessarily mean this is who you're going to be with forever. This may be just a stop to show you how love works. But in that, if you go to them, they get it, good. If they don't, you go back to where it came from.
One thing about it, and we say this all the time, I won't necessarily say I would skip that step. Because
right.
In that conflict, like we always say, somebody going to learn something.
Something.
Now, I could have came to you with the conflict because I was hurt, and I could be the one who get the lesson.
It's true.
You still are who you are and do what you do. Okay, I can't be mad because I got my lesson. I got what I needed to know from that.
Right.
My job is not to try to change you.
And what happens in that, too, is something my daddy used to like to say all the time, somebody got to have some sense.
Somebody. If both of us ain't got no sense,
yeah.
What we doing?
The fact that I come to you and tell you, look, you hurt me. May relay some sense to the other side.
Yeah.
You get a sense of understanding, hey, when you do that, it's not agreeable with the way my makeup is.
I was talking to one of my buddies yesterday, and we was talking about love. And he was more so on the lines of how much he loved. I can't understand why a person would do that when they know I love them so much and I've been through this time, I've been through that time. And I'm listening to him, and what came to me was, like BJ said, you can love whoever you choose to love. You control that.
Yeah.
Kinda. Right. You control opening yourself up to
the offering.
The position.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can close it off or you can open yourself up to it. What happens from there is kind of out of your control, but the initial part is under your control. Where I'm going is, by me knowing that I could be susceptible to loving anybody, the way I love, or how I love you, or what I do for you, and this, that, and the third, that's not the key. The key is who's going to love you back.
Mm-hmm.
You can waste love, but there's always somebody who's going to appreciate it. And that person that appreciates it, you'll know it.
For me, like you just said, Corey, basically love is a choice. You make the decision at some point in your life that you want to love someone and you will allow someone to love you.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the first step. Make that decision. For me, the second step, and I'm learning this like on the fly, like right now I'm learning it. You have to love God first.
Yeah.
If you don't build that loving relationship with God, you would never be able to love yourself, first of all, or anybody else.
Because you don't know what love is.
Because you don't know what love is. God teaches you and shows you love. And in return, by loving him and learning how he loves you, you will open yourself up to love other people, which would then reciprocate love back to you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's a cycle, really. But you have to first make that step. And like you said, what people get into is they waste love. I like how you put that.
Yeah,
waste
that,
love.
That makes a lot of sense.
Because you can love somebody that ain't worth the love you give them.
I won't go as far as saying it ain't worth it. Because I can't determine your worth. That's not for me to determine. What I will say is that I can love you and it not be appreciated, and in turn hurt myself. You're not hurting me because it doesn't matter to you. I'm hurting myself by trying to force something to happen that's not there. To go back to the point you just made, though, I don't even think I focus on the way that I love God, because I don't love God the way that it's impossible for me. This is my opinion and my thought process. It's impossible for me to love God the way that I should. I can never give him the love that he deserves. I can't. Because I'm not him. Only he can give that. Unwavering, unchanging, unfaithful, that just it just is what it is and you can always count on it. I'm going to fail. But I can't focus on the way that he loved me. That he always has loved me. And I believe always will love me. Throughout all the times where I didn't pay you no attention.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I went totally against you. But yeah, you loved me anyway. If I can always stay focused on that, knowing I don't deserve it, how can I ever judge another person based on what they do and don't deserve? No, it's just my response. One of his things. Love your neighbor.
Yeah.
Love your neighbor. Love people around you. How can you say you love me? One of the scriptures, I don't know how it goes verbatim, but you say you love me, but you ain't never seen me. Mm-hmm. Never laid your eyes on me. Yeah, you walk in a world with somebody else every day. You can put your hands on them, put your eyes on them, and this, that, and that. You can't love them. How can you love me?
True. True. I mean, it even goes back to Paul. If we go back to the Bible, when Paul was talking to the Gentiles, the Romans, and he said that, you know, hope and faith and love was the most powerful thing. But of all those things,
love
conquered all. It's the truth. I mean, there's no way around it. Love can make impossible possible.
Yeah.
That's why I have no problem with believing God is love. Because Love will make things happen that you could never dream of happening when you were in love or you experience love. It's a high. It exhales. It exhilarates. It just fires you up. It's like you on this cloud. And the only way I can describe it is to give you the feeling I get when I feel like I'm totally engrossed into God. That's the only way to describe it. That's the only way to describe it. And now to come back, that's how I explain it.
Yeah.
And it took me that to get it. In the beginning, I gave you all the superficial and practical answers. But the truth of the matter is, love is the way I feel when I'm in touch, totally engaged and in touch with God.
And you can't explain
it. I cannot explain it.
And that's why I said undefined. You can't define that. All you can get, all I can tell you is what I can tell you, but I can't make you feel that.
No.
You have to experience that. In thinking about this show, thinking about love and how this may go and how what I say may be taken and all of this and all that, I came to a conclusion. The greatest accomplishment, and this is Corey talking personal,
mm-hmm.
the greatest accomplishment that I could ever achieve is to love unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
I can go and I can, from this point on, I can go and get 5 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
I can get a job or start a business and I'm making 10 figures a year. So that's it.
Yeah.
I can have everything that I think I want on this earth. But without love, what does any of that mean?
Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, everything you do, now I want you to, I'm going to challenge y'all to think for a second. Everything, tell me one thing you do in your life that is in one way or another does not come back to the fact that you want to either A, B, or C, I said A,
mm-hmm.
B, or B, give love to somebody through that thing. One thing you do. It could be brushing your teeth. You brush your teeth because you don't want to brush it. You don't want to brush the stink because you don't want to. You don't want to turn your wife off. You don't want to talk in front of people and have them shout off from you. Why? Because you want to go to. One thing you do that comes back to, that does not come back to love. I don't think you can do it. It's inherent in us. And we don't recognize it because we don't receive it.
True. Because I'm sitting and trying to think of something. And I'm having a difficult time.
Shave.
Same thing as brushing your teeth. You shave.
Presentable.
Because you want to be presentable. You want to be presentable.
I shave or I choose not to shave for me.
Okay.
So I ain't got no stuff.
Well, then, it's loving yourself.
It's loving myself.
Back to love.
See, but I'm crazy because I think growing your beard out is showing love to yourself.
Like, however you think.
But it's still going back
to love.
Well,
back
to
love.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So you're pointing that.
Love, man. And it's free.
Yeah, it is. It is free. You know what's crazy, though? The more we talk about this, the more I'm relating. But it's, we say things, and we say things a lot. And we really just, I'm going to be honest, because like I say, you say things a lot, and you're just saying it on the surface. You really don't get the meaning of what you're saying. Because if I'm saying God is love, that's why this correlation is here. That's why everything goes back to love.
Everything goes back
to love. I quickly tell you I know everything goes back to God. But when you ask me what love is, like when we open up the show and we open the topic, I'm telling you, well, it's when you do things you don't think you'll do. Well, it's a lot of things since I've been walking with God that I'm doing that I never thought I would do.
And it's all
this radio show. So, I mean, yeah, I get it. I get it now. I get it totally.
There are some people that say, yeah, that makes sense. It could make sense, but it ain't that serious. You know, I do this because I want to do this about it. That just means you haven't accepted God. Oh, to me.
Yeah.
That's just what that means. Once you accept him in his fullness, and we'll never know his fullness, that's the process. That's the whole part about living this thing out. He's never going to be understood fully. It's always more you can learn. So to that, there's always more love to receive and there's always more love to give. You can never run out of that. If the world run out of everything else,
never run out of
love. Love will be there.
I think a lot of the issues we are having in the world today is simply because some people have lost love. You know how politicians can just use our tax dollars in kind of way and manipulate us and all that kind of stuff with the media and all this negativity that we get bombarded with. No love.
I'm going to go this route real quick because it just came to me. The atheists and those people who don't believe that there's a God.
Mm-hmm.
The question I would ask them now, and I never thought about that before, where does love come from for you? Do you love anybody? Is there anybody on the face of this planet that you love?
Mm-hmm.
And if your answer is yes, where does that come from?
Yeah, I totally understand that. That's when we was having a discussion. This was a while back on one of our shows. And we was going against the evolution versus
creation, I should say.
Excuse me. But how can you accept evolution if you don't realize? So where does my thought process? If I just came from a rock. If I was just transformed from a rock into water and creation, and that's how man came about. Where does the intellect come from?
Even more than that, and I know we're getting off topic, but since you brought up science, there was a scientist, I don't remember his name, who, the dude who looked into an atom, he came up with this machine and was able to look into an atom.
Yeah.
And discovered that an atom is empty space.
Mm-hmm.
So science tells us that everything is composed of atoms. And if an atom is empty space, what does that mean? Everything on this earth, to me, logic, common sense,
mm-hmm.
if the atom is empty and everything is made of atoms,
then
everything on this planet is empty.
Yeah. So, in explaining that, how do you rationalize thoughts, feelings?
You can't.
And that's where me, creation, and evolution, I get it.
Yeah. But going back to the topic, and I know we have another subtopic that we want to get on, and I feel like there's more that needs to be addressed right here, but I can't find a way to pull it out and put it together for myself. So I want to say, as far as the problem with putting love and intellect in the same space, or do we think it's a problem?
I think so. I think so just from the definition of intellectualization. I think once you pull intellectualization into the format of love, you're pulling yourself out. That's what it says. You pulling yourself emotionally out of it. So that means love now has been taken away from
you. You're standing back looking at love,
right,
as opposed to being
in
the love.
Yeah.
Because you now intellectualize it. I have to step back to look at it for what it is in order to correctly assess it.
Yeah.
I can't assess the situation. Maybe I can't. But it's difficult to assess a situation while I'm in it. I have to step outside of it and look at it for what it is before I see it.
But the struggle I see in that is I don't see how you can do that with love. You can't do that with love.
That's why you can't put love and intellect.
You can't put them
space
together. They can't occupy the same space simply because we've all been in love. We're all in love and all that kind of good stuff. So I'm pretty sure we've experienced a case where you just cannot explain why you love this person. It makes absolutely no sense. It ain't healthy for you. It probably ain't healthy for them because it ain't healthy for you. So ain't nobody bringing nothing good to this. But you're still in love. it makes absolutely no sense. Love makes no sense. To just give yourself wholeheartedly without taking your own personal benefits into account.
Can I say that another way? Because I'm listening to you and I hear that a different way. If you can say why you love a person, maybe it's not that you love that person. You love what it is that they do. If I can explain it to you,
yeah,
then that means that somebody else that comes up and does the same thing will get the same reaction from you. So it's not you.
Yeah.
It's the thing that you're doing. But the fact that I can't explain what it is about you that makes me have this emotion towards you, can't nobody else take that?
Right.
Because can't anybody else you?
Right. That's unique. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the problem with trying to intellectualize.
Yeah.
It ain't no answer.
There is no, it just is what it is, and until you accept it, you're going to always suffer in it. Me moving on to somebody else ain't going to change the fact that I still love you.
Mm.
I never accepted the fact that I loved you, so how now am I going to love them and accept them, accept the love I have for them? It's just a matter of time before I'm back at the same place with them. Because it's the love that I can't accept.
Great point.
I don't understand. It's not the person.
Great point. Great point. I see you got that pulled up over there. I've been kind of eyeballing it and reading it.
Yeah.
I want you to feed that a little bit over the air so they can hear like the concept of love from that standpoint.
If we absolutely had to have a definition of love, well, Corey, this is where I tell you it is. This is where I tell you to go get it. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. The person that can walk this earth and perfect that,
good to go.
You something special.
You're good to go.
You something special. You are something special if you can do that.
That came straight from the blueprint. The blueprint of our lives. If, and I'm not trying to promote, but I am trying to glorify his word. So if I'm not trying to feed it to you if you don't want to hear it, but I'm telling you, if you're spiritual and you understand the blueprint is the Bible, that came straight from the Bible. Yeah. Now, all we need to do is try to perfect that. That doesn't mean we're going to be perfect in that, because we know we're not perfect. But to try to perfect the fact that love is patient, love is kind, it endures all, and it doesn't anger.
Think about those you just said. Love is patient.
Yeah, patient.
So what that tells me is that the fact that I love you means that I should always be patient.
Yeah.
I'm human.
Yeah.
There are going to be times where I'm impatient. I done told you this 10 times and we still going through the same thing. Go through it 11.
Yeah.
Go through it 12. Go through it 15. If you love. Love keeps no record of wrongs.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
It's over. It's done. It's done. It's over with. I'm not bringing that up.
I am.
Yeah.
One of us gonna bring this up.
Yeah.
Because it happened.
Yeah.
But we shouldn't. If you love, according to the blueprint.
Blueprint.
They did it. They know they did it. You know they did it. Let it go. Keep moving.
Not saying don't deal with it.
Right.
Not saying not.
No, no, says keeps no record.
Keeps no record.
So 2 months from now, when I do something, and you telling me I did something, and I don't want to accept the fact that I did something, and let's just move on from this point, I go back to 2 years ago when you did something.
That's keeping the record.
Keeping the record. Why are you worried about 2 years ago? We're talking about right now. We talked about that 2 years ago. I shouldn't even never heard that no more. That's not human.
Mm. That's hard.
Exactly. That's why this thing will never be perfected. Love and everything about God is a process.
Yes.
Your life is a process because God is in it. Love is a process because God is love. Your walk is a process. Every single thing about what we do, that's why there's time.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the author of that.
Yeah.
Because he's the author of the process. I know you're in the process. We just have to accept that process.
We have to accept it. And understand and accepting it that these are the things. Because the fact of the matter that it puts out there, love is not easily angered. Love keeps no record. Tells you God already know what's coming.
You're human. You're born in sin.
It said, I think, yeah, the first thing it says is love is patient. So it's telling you out of the bat, listen, slow down, you're going to have to accept this. Everything else come after this. If you're patient, you'll get through that.
Be patient.
Just be patient.
Because I'm patient with you.
His love is the exemplification of that.
Exactly.
Of the blueprint. Which makes sense. It's his blueprint.
It's his blueprint.
So it makes sense. But you can't ever reproduce it because we're not him.
Exactly.
But we can practice it.
So there you go. Now what we're saying is, all of that, we're getting to the point where when you talk about two humans who sin, who do wrong, who don't understand, who don't know, who are just lost.
Yeah.
Basically. Because we all are. Only he knows the way. We are lost. Two humans who are trying to decipher whether they love each other. And why I love you. If I love you. All of that is irrelevant. If you are standing next to somebody who understands this.
Yeah.
And who is willing to try to do this. That's love.
Yeah. And when you say this, you're referring back to the blueprint.
The blueprint.
Of course. I've learned a lot in this conversation. I learned a lot for myself moving forward with my own situation and endeavors with love. Because now I see it takes a lot of patience. I just can't get angry. I got to understand this is love. This is what it does. And in it, if I practice these steps that the blueprint has laid out for me, it's going to be kind.
You'll never get there.
Yeah, it's going to preserve.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You have to accept that when you embark on the journey that will never arise.
Yeah.
But the joy is in going through the journey together.
Yeah.
We're never going to be perfect. We're never going to do this. Not every day of our lives. We're never going to make it here. Because if I make it here, then I deserve another title. And I can never wear that title.
One thing I do take from it, though, is you gotta take intellect all the way out of it.
You have to.
You gotta take intellect all the way out of it. Because it's setting you up for failure every time.
It's not for the mind to try. Why do you think God don't deal with your mind?
Yeah. Hmm. You said that before, he deals with your heart.
That's all I want. That's all I'm concerned with. Your mind is cloudy. Your mind, there's too much going on in your mind for me to deal with. It's impossible.
Yeah.
So why do we as humans try to deal with each other's mind? Stupid.
Built that way. That over time, that's the matrix, once again, has been set to inform us to believe that's the way we have to go.
Yeah, I'm setting this off for failure.
Well, that's what the matrix is.
Yeah, true. But once you know better.
Yeah,
you do better.
Do better, yeah.
And true. That's all, we say this all the time, these conversations are rough. And I don't mean rough as in they're hard to have. They're just rough because we're learning as we're talking.
Yeah.
So it comes across as a rough. We're not trying to teach anybody anything.
No, we actually.
We don't know. Yeah. Let me speak for Corey. Corey doesn't know. I know nothing other than what I'm learning in this moment and what I've already learned through life experience. That does not qualify me to be a teacher. I can give you advice based on what I have learned. That's it.
Yeah. And I mean, I can piggyback off that, and I totally agree, because I'm sitting here not learning. But I'm open to it. I'm always open to it, because I truly believe we learn something every day.
Yeah.
And if we're open, you'll catch it. I went through life a long time missing my blessings because I wasn't open to learning.
I think at this point, what I'm going to start doing, and I hope that it doesn't come off as offensive, but I want to start saying that I'm trying to love you. I don't want to say I love you. Because if I say I love you, that means I'm willing to do these things.
Yeah.
Good luck with that, homeboy.
I'm trying to love you.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
Good luck with that.
Everybody don't get it. Everybody don't get it.
Hey, I commend you all. Good luck with that.
I'm trying.
I feel you.
But it is an understatement.
Yeah.
And it makes a lot of sense.
That's all that I
can
be.
It makes a lot of sense.
I'm not going to keep pacifying you because I'm going to keep failing you. If you can accept the fact that I'm trying to do this, then you can accept when I fail. Because you know I'm not perfect. You know I have not perfected this. I don't know how to do this.
True.
I'm trying to accept the fact that you don't know how to do this. So when you do something that offends me, I need to learn how to not focus on that. Why? Because you're trying just as well as I am.
Mm. On that point, especially because you said offend me, I think it'd be a good move to move into the second subtopic.
That me versus us.
Me versus us. Because me plays a big role in us.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's almost like intellectualization, because that's when me go into me to intellect, to intellectualize whatever I'm trying to figure out. I'm going to pass it off to Bone, because this is more Bone stable, so I'm going to let him handle it and open up the floor, and then we'll come back to it. I mean, me and T will come back and put our two cents.
Well, when I originally said me versus us, the idea behind it was more so within relationships,
mm-hmm.
right? Where we get caught up in the me, right? We get caught up in the me and what satisfies me mm-hmm. and what makes me happy mm-hmm. and, you know, what keeps me sane and what keeps me calm and relaxed. And within that, there's a struggle because what pleases you may not be beneficial
mm-hmm.
to us. So I just wrote some thoughts down. First thing I wrote was, you know, the struggle with being a man versus being mannish.
Mm.
All right, and a lot of my perspective is from the male perspective simply because I'm a male.
Yeah.
You know, this goes both ways, female and male, but my perspective is from male. Yep, y'all are my homeboys. Y'all know this is rough for me, but.
Yeah, we here.
I know.
We here.
This one over here has been waiting for this.
Welcome, world. How are you?
You've been waiting for this.
Let's go.
I wanted to post an example of where I feel like it's a struggle for me versus us.
Mm-hmm.
When a person says that's in a relationship, I want there to be us, but I still want to be me.
Mm. 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 That's heavy. It's lonely.
Say that again.
Okay.
Can you say that again?
I'll say that again.
Okay.
Man don't say it no more, though.
I want there to be a us, but I still want to be me.
Okay.
Loaded.
It is loaded. It's the question. The statement itself is a struggle. How can it be a us if it's me in it? But without me, there is no us. Where I begin to struggle with this is how do I follow my path, whatever that path may be, whether it's the right path or the wrong.
Right.
How do I follow my path and basically bring you along with me?
Mm-hmm.
Is that possible?
Yeah. Definitely.
Or is it, I pose another question, or is it two paths that are parallel to each other, heading in the same direction? Now, these two paths headed in the same direction, they're still separate paths.
Yeah. So us don't live there.
There is no us there.
Yeah.
Because my path can veer off to the left. and your pass would veer off to the right. We still headed in the same direction, but there's no us. How do you merge those paths? Maybe we've answered my question already when you read the scripture.
Well, let me go this way. And I'm processing what you said. I'm trying to stay on track. So it might get a little rough, but try to go with me.
All right.
Okay. As the man, in your relationship, no, in your marriage, not your relationship, in your marriage, who is first? Who is the head?
Okay, I say God is first.
Okay, that's why I changed that. Who is the head for you? No, just in your marriage.
Mine,
you know, God is should be first over your life.
Traditionally, you know, the man is the head.
Okay, so that would be
me.
Right. Okay.
Me.
Yeah, I think you know where I'm going to try to go with this. Me has been with me for a long time. Me was with me when I asked the woman to marry me. Me was with me when we started planning it. Me was with me all the way up until the point where I made the choice to say, I do.
Mm-hmm.
And when I made the choice to say, I do, I now not only am in control of me or am in front of me, I'm now in front of she or her or whatever. The problem comes, I think, in understanding or not understanding what to do with that headship. That headship is not me still being focused on me. Now my everything that I do and I am and I become is about her, because my sole purpose here now in this relationship is to focus on her. I can't be focused on me. By focusing on her, the woman, let's say you put woman first.
Mm-hmm.
Put woman in front of man. What does woman start with? What letter?
Nothing.
You take the M out of me and replace it with the W in woman, or what words you get?
What is
we?
Yeah.
Keep the W in front of the M and you got we taken care of. Take you out. Your only responsibility, if you focus on her and what you should be for her, it's hard to do because we're human. And it's hard for you to tell me that, look, I can't worry about, I'm not supposed to be focused on how I feel, what I get, what I want, but to make her happy, what she gets, how she feels. I'll leave that up to her. Because if she turns around and puts her focus into the man, what the man start with?
M.
Put the M back in front of the E.
Me.
Me, he's taking care of.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't got to do it. I do that by focusing on we. Me will be okay. Does that make sense at all?
It did. Yeah. It makes sense. The only thing with it for me is, and I don't think you missed it. I think you more said it, but you didn't directly say it.
Okay.
In me,
mm-hmm.
me has to be solid with God before I can do anything to make her happy.
Well, that's a given. We already addressed
that. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, yeah, then I can focus solely on her. If I'm good and I'm great with God, we good. Because, like I said, you asked, you posed the question, if I lead, will eventually see follow. Yes, most definitely. Most
We in this house together. We're married. Okay, conversation come up. What are we going to do today? Well, we want to go out. Where are we going?
Yeah.
Like, where do you want to go? Wherever you want to go, that's what we're doing. I'm thinking about we. I'm thinking me. Okay, she may take that one. We got one piece of bologna in the refrigerator. We both hungry. So you going to eat that? You eat that. I'm good. I ate already. I could be hungry and stomach cooking with bite. You eat that. Go ahead. She may take that. You keep putting her out in front. You keep showing her that, look, this is about you. Eventually, she'll learn how to cut that bologna in half.
She reciprocates. Sister, I'm doing the same for you. And
you focus on me, and then me get taken care of in the process without you even trying to. You're not focused on me, but me is good.
What a struggle comes for some people. Okay, I'm focused on. I think that's the struggle right there in itself. So let me explain it better. When people don't look at it as in, I'm doing for we. I'm doing for you. Okay, I'm doing for you. I'm doing for the kids. I'm not worried about myself. I'm doing for you. My happiness doesn't matter. Your happiness matters. You know, my well-being comes second, third, or fourth. You know, your kids comes first. That there's a flaw in that.
What's that?
You can get lost in that.
Yeah, you can.
You can get lost in not doing for you. And you answered the question. I was like, okay, if I'm doing this for them, because I haven't found we yet.
Right.
I'm doing this for them. What about me?
That's the whole problem, though.
Right.
The problem is you're approaching it with an IU approach instead of a we.
We.
Exactly. I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for we.
So I'm going to say this conversation is for those that have not quite figured out the we. The bulb just went off on
right,
me.
Right, right.
You know, recently.
I learned this after I got divorced.
Mm.
It was never, it should have never been, when I said I do, we became one.
Yeah.
We happened then.
Yeah.
That's when we were created. All before that, it was a you and I.
Because it was before God.
Yeah.
It was before that union. He was the melting pot.
Yeah. You lose him, then that's when it becomes me.
Now it's I and you.
Right.
I'm doing for you.
Yeah.
Right.
So by me doing for you, I feel like I'm old something.
Right. Exactly.
No, yeah. I'm doing this for we, so I'm already
either
kidding.
I'm old or I'm lacking
what I'm giving you.
Right. I'm lacking something. I'm missing out on something because all I do is for you.
Because I have separated the
me. Yeah. It's about me and you. And what I give you, I look for what I need in return from you.
Exactly.
Instead of about what I'm giving we, which would in turn take care of both of us.
Because me is going to be taken care of.
Right.
By me looking at we, there's three parts in that.
Yeah.
I and you is just two. You forgot about that box.
Yeah, yeah. I truly believe, like, to solidify love or marriage, I believe the male has to understand that happiness is not solely his to have.
Yeah.
I really believe that. I believe to get happiness, you have to exude it to them, or they have to exude it to you to be happy.
Goes back to another scripture. I can't tell you where it's at. Can't say it verbatim. But the premise is, whatever you want, give it.
Yeah, that's true.
Whatever it is you're looking for,
that's true.
Find a way to give it. You want money, give it away.
It'll come back to you.
It'll come right back to you.
I say that all the time, too. Whatever
you
want, all the time.
Give it. If love is what you truly want, give it. Without worrying about it coming back. And before you know it, you'll be getting it without even knowing you're getting it. Because you're not looking for it.
That's the truth. And then it becomes a point where you're not questioning. Now you're not intellectualized. You're doing the intellectualization anymore because it's just happening. You don't even think about it. You're just getting love.
That's it.
Okay.
And like I said earlier, man, love is free, man. Love is free.
We complicate.
It costs you when you don't
complicate.
We complicate love.
Right.
We do. And I don't think it's intentional most of the time. We just don't understand.
Yeah.
That's because we don't talk about it. Look at how much we've learned just in this conversation.
By talking
I know
about
I have.
Me too. Just by talking about it.
I can't worry about all the rest of that. I can't worry about that. Now, I'm not married right now, this moment. But I can sit here with all confidence and say to you, and I probably would have never said this before this conversation, I can't wait to be married.
I get it. I get that totally. I get that totally.
But I'm not going to give it away for free.
Yeah, why wouldn't you want to experience it?
Come on, man. It's going to be hard, I know, because unless you marry somebody who automatically or who gets the concept that we're just now learning.
Exactly.
Then you have to start that process all over again, but that's where patience comes in.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And to that point, I have to sit here and be grateful to the fact that God has allowed me to have a marriage as long as I truly understand love. I really do. You really have to when you sit back and think about it. The fact of the matter that I've been married for 8 years, and today, in the last hour or so, I just conceptually put love to understanding in my mind, means I really haven't been going about this thing the right way.
You're human.
But I'm okay with it. I'm okay. Yeah, I'm okay. It goes back to love being God.
That's it. There you go. And no matter how, whatever you want to talk about, at the end of the day, it's going to go back to him being what he is.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why I have what I have.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It ain't nothing I did.
Well, I feel good.
You sure?
I don't know about you, but I feel good right now.
You know, this is church, man.
I feel good. I feel real good.
One last thing. And,
what's up?
And this is my therapy. I say this all the time. I think I say it more off the air than on the air, but this is my therapy. All right, so within me versus us, another statement popped in my head, and I'm going to try to form a question off of that. But it was, I shouldn't have to change. You should just accept me for who I am.
Well, what I said to that is if you accept the fact that step outside of the relationship, or maybe out of marriage, or whatever. Step outside of that. This is just between you and yourself. If you understand that life is a process, why wouldn't you expect to evolve within that process? So change is inevitable.
Inevitable.
If you're not willing to change, that means you're not willing to grow. That means you haven't accepted the process. Plain and simple. It don't got nothing to do with the other person. I know that there, as I learn, I'm going to have to change. You can't hold me accountable for what I don't understand, but when I do understand.
That's true. The growth.
That's the growth.
The growth.
Don't charge me for what I didn't know. You know, you keep no records of wrong.
Yeah, 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 yeah. There it is. On the knob. That's why I'm saying I feel so good.
Matter of fact, I didn't even see this part, but
not
on the higher we. It's not self-seeking.
Yeah.
I ain't worried about me.
Yeah.
I can't be.
That's why it won't work without this.
No, it won't work without the blueprint.
All your answers are my answers. All right here.
They have to come. The answer to life, homeboy.
Yeah.
Is right there.
And the thing about it is, and this is the thing I say all the time about the Bible. The Bible has been around way before we came about. But it has not changed. It has not deviated. And everything in it is still relevant. You
always
can't dispute it.
Always will be. Now, 3 weeks from now, you're going to go, if you take it upon yourself, I would set an alarm. This is a challenge. I'm issuing a challenge. Set an alarm 3 weeks from today. Go back and read this same three sentences, three lines. See if you don't take something else from it that you never got today. It's life.
Yeah.
It evolves right along with you. Every time you go to it and pick it up and read it, you're going to get something different because your understanding is in a different place. They call it the Book of Life for a reason.
Yeah, that's true. It's true,
the
man.
The problem is, and I say this all the time, I really do believe it's a problem when we depend solely on somebody else's interpretation of what this book says. Because what you read from this ain't necessarily what I need to get.
Right.
So until I pick it up and read it for myself, it doesn't mean no good to hear your interpretation. I won't say no good. I won't get the benefit that I probably would have got had I read it myself and came to my own understanding of how it applies to me.
I see it this way. And Bo, I understand what you're saying, but I think you're also getting it too.
Mm-hmm.
And the conflict comes in because we as individuals want things a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
But as in the verse, love is patient. And with patience means it's going to be some things that the reason you need patience is because you're finna go up against something that you're going to have to relax and just let happen. So there's nothing wrong with going through the struggle because we already alluded to the fact we're not perfect. So we're not going to play that out exactly the way the verse said. But in that, understanding that all I need to do is be patient.
Just be patient. Find a way to be patient. Find a way to remember patience in your impatience. Because you only going to remember patience once you're already impatient.
Patient, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not relevant until you became impatient. Yeah.
I'm not going to remember to keep no record
until
I done already started keeping record.
Yeah.
All of this stuff ain't going to come back to you than already done.
Done. Yeah. Yeah. That's true. And practicing that verse, you come to a point where your significant other picks it up. Maybe not even, they don't get it directly from you because you might not even say the verse. You begin to act it out. You live it. You live it, and now in return, and I can say this for a fact. Matter of fact, I can say this. There's certain things I do now that I've noticed because I took the approach I've taken as far as getting away from me, as we said earlier, and understanding the we of it. It's a lot of things now that I'm giving that sometimes I look at and be like, wow, that's cool. That she would, you know, think to the fact of, I didn't mention it, but she just wanted to do it because I wanted to.
It goes back to man being the head. When you say it without an explanation, and when you say it without a premise or a basis or an understanding of what that means, it has a negative connotation to it.
Yeah.
Why would I want to sit back and listen? No, this is what being the head means.
Yeah.
You come to an understanding, and now you live it.
Yeah.
And you don't charge her for not living what you understand.
No.
You can't.
And that's where you take the me out of.
You have to.
Yeah, because it ain't about me.
I'm leading, but I'm putting you first.
First, yeah.
And that, you really need that patience.
Yes.
That's when you need patience the most, when you start talking about personal growth and within a relationship, within us. I'm growing within us. I can't charge you if you are not, I'm not going to say not growing, but you don't see my growth and I don't see yours.
Right.
I can't charge you for that. I can't sit here and say you're not growing.
Oh, boy, wait, hold on. Let me slow you down for a second. Now, what do you do when she sees your growth and still chooses to do what she wants to do?
I have patience.
Thank you.
I have to have patience.
Other than that, it's not going to work.
Go ahead. We got to call him?
We got to call him.
Go ahead.
We want to get him in, see what he got to say about this comment, right?
Hold on, Carla. We'll get you in.
Calling you on there. Go ahead.
Carla, you there?
Hey, gentlemen, this is Q from Atlanta. I just want to make a suggestion.
Go ahead, Q.
It is a beautiful thing you guys are saying. And I don't know how you feel about this, but this is my core mantra for a lot of things that you said and as well as the Bible references. I think when we as males a lot of times forget that we're supposed to be providing a vision for our group, our family, so on and so forth, and that we forget, like Jewish people teach their younger people, to make sure that their influence on their community in a positive way. I think we get to the point, and somebody alluded to this, that we get to just be church attenders and spiritual holders, but we really don't have visions for what we're trying to do. And I think it's kind of symbolic of what you guys are saying and what you guys just mentioned about what if she doesn't. I think a lot of guys, and I've been a counselor for 5 years, but a lot of guys, they tend to not have a vision for what they're trying to do outside of their own pleasure. And I think that's what it runs into. So when this whole love thing that you guys have been talking about, I think you don't even get close to it when you're still stuck on your pleasure and you don't have a vision for turning me into we. And something that an Asian guy said to me a long time ago, and he was talking about black men as a whole, he said he doesn't understand why black males put women above themselves and at the same time blame women for that. And he said he also doesn't understand why you have, and not that I agree with him, this is just his perception looking from the outside, and he also said that he doesn't understand why black males don't have more of a forefront, hey, this is what we're going to do for the sake of our collective group area, what have you. And I kind of tend to agree with the latter part of what he said. It's just, it seems love can be achieved once we as males, at least for my own life, have some type of vision of what we're trying to do as a collective and how we are going to individually influence our group, including women. That's just my thought.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. I'm like, how can you go somewhere and don't know where you're going?
Yeah.
How can you achieve a goal and not have an idea of what that goal is? Now, as far as what you said the Asian gentleman said to you about, you know, we put women first and then blame them for doing so. Guilty as charged.
Yeah, guilty.
Guilty as charged. I'm not ashamed to say it. It's kind of like you work towards working against yourself.
Totally agree.
I don't know. I couldn't make out everything you're saying, and I apologize for that. It's not your fault. But as far as us having a vision, and once you have that vision, and once you have accepted that vision, then it kind of makes this.
That being the blueprint.
Yeah, the blueprint. I'm sorry, I'm pointing as if y'all understand what I'm saying. It makes the blueprint more prevalent. It's easier to revert back to it because I always remember we're going somewhere. We're trying to achieve something. We're not just existing.
I totally agree, and Q, appreciate you calling in, man. As always, we appreciate the love and support. Good feedback. I agree with you. I mean, the standard is ours to set as the males, and in doing so, we have to understand that the truth of the matter is patience. It's all about patience. It's about we. It's not about me. And we can get caught up in that. I mean, we flesh. I mean, everybody's flesh, and that's the weakness of all of us as humans, but at the same time, we do have a blueprint.
Yes, we do. And I say all the time, how would you expect the plan to work if you don't follow the blueprint?
Yeah.
Regardless of your vision, how can you expect it to work when you refuse the blueprint? Not saying that you won't get there. I can't say that because I don't know anybody. I can't say where you are.
Yeah. Yeah. And to that point, I mean, look, I just said an expression on air, being totally candid and honest. For the last 8 years, I didn't totally get it. And I've been married. So you can get pretty far with it. Just I'm an example of that. And not totally get it. But now, the way I feel right now in this present moment,
mm-hmm.
It's going to be better. It's going to be better.
It's that next level.
It's that next level.
That's what it is. It's that next level.
And those 8 years set me up for this point. And I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that. I'm okay. I'm not mad. I'm not upset. Because that's the process.
And homeboy, back to not wanting to change. Anybody who's not willing to change don't want to get to that next level. You can't. You can't expect to get there without the process and without evolution. It doesn't happen.
That makes sense to me now. looking back on it, I was that person. I didn't feel like I needed to change. I felt like me changing didn't matter. To be completely honest with you, I don't have to change because I'm the head of this household. So if anybody got to change, it's everybody else.
I've been there.
And that's why, at times, I struggle in mine because I wasn't willing to change. Now, opening myself up to God and opening myself up to His blessings, I say all the time, you know, just step back and let Him have it. I didn't even have to change. I didn't have to do nothing.
Yeah.
I didn't have to put forth no kind of effort to change. It's just happening. I see it. I don't know if people around me see it, but I feel it.
Yeah,
I feel it.
Yeah.
You put up an effort. You put up an effort. And you did something. It may not have been as drastic as you thought it may have been.
It's more work doing the opposite.
Exactly. Right.
And that's why you feel like you're doing so much. This is the truth. It is hard work messing something up.
Yeah.
It is hard work really messing something up. But on the back side of that, when it all works out, it seems so easy.
Because you didn't do it.
Yeah.
You just allowed it to happen.
Yeah, I say all the time. I ran for years. Mm-hmm. And the truth of the matter is you might as well walk because tomorrow, today, what you running for? You're going to be right back here. You know what I'm saying? But we get so caught up in it. I got to get tomorrow. I got to get tomorrow. You ain't never seen it. Tell me when you seen tomorrow. I always see today.
Never will.
But we chasing tomorrow. Practicing today. So when you finally get to the streets and go, oh, I want it to be grand. Oh, I want it to be grand. I'm telling you, man. I'm in a good place right now. Me, personally, I'm in a good place. I'm in a real good place.
That's because you came into this conversation open.
Yeah.
You came into this conversation willing to learn.
Yeah.
Now, whether you walked out learning anything or not, you were open to it.
Yeah.
So was I. So were you.
Yeah.
Because if you hadn't been, you can't say that I would have understood anything from this conversation. No, I would have just came with my opinion and with my beliefs. And I said what I thought and what I believe, and that would have been that.
Truth of the matter is, on Live Al, all three of us just been introduced to love.
To love.
For the first time. True, undefined, unexplained, because there's no explanation. We already verified that. Look, why do I need to tell you what love is? It's God. Love is God. You tell me what God is, I tell you what love is. Do we need to? No, because I'm good, and He's good. We all good. Love is God. Okay.
There it is.
That's it. Drop the mic.
Drop the mic.
Check the shot.
Amen.
This is what we do.
This is what it is, man.
This is what we do.
We are on a process. We are on a journey, I should say. Individually and jointly.
Yeah.
We are on a journey. And for whatever reason, God has allowed us to open ourselves up to be exposed on this journey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put us in a position to share our journey with our listeners.
Yeah.
And within our growth, what we hope is that someone out there listening grows as well.
Yeah.
This is my mission. This is my mission in life. And it comes to me just as easy as it comes to me. I have four children. It comes to me just as easily as I know my wife's name is Kiara. It comes to me just this easy. At this point in my life, I see everything I'm doing, every position I'm put in, is for God to use. And I'm going to let it happen. And you know what I believe is going to happen from that? Just like God told Paul, you will be fisher of men. I'm going to change the world. That's a bold statement, but I believe it. I believe that with every being in me, I believe I'm going to change the world. And you know why? Because I'm not afraid to. I'm not afraid to. Fear don't live here. I don't house fear. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm uncomfortable with a lot of things. And I'm going to close this up because I'm going to go into a rally, and I don't want to do that. But I'm uncomfortable with a lot of things, and I'm good space. So I'm going there. I'm telling you, I'm there. I'm telling you, I'm not. I'm uncomfortable with a lot of things, but I'm not scared of nothing. I'm not scared of anything. Because, okay, nothing here do nothing to me. Where I dwell and where I'm going, I'm practicing here. Because when I walk down them streets of gold, boy, I'm going to be hop, skip, jumping, doing my dance. I'm going to praise my God. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it while I'm here. Because I'm enjoying myself. I'm practicing to get to my Jesus. That's what I'm doing. I'm practicing here to get to my Jesus so I can show you, hey, Jesus, when I get there, I've been doing this for you a little while. I'm going to be polished and ready. I ain't presenting myself any kind of way to the Lord. You can. I'm not. Period. Point blank. I'm done.
You know, I laugh in these moments because it's just joyous. It's not a funny laugh.
I know it.
But we
I
say
know.
It all the time. God will make you laugh, man.
Yes.
God will make you laugh. And this is a laughing moment. What I would like to do in this moment, I don't know if I want to say anything after you went there. In summary, from what we understood and what we thought about today, love is not to be intellectualized.
No.
You cheat yourself. It's not something to be thought about. It's just to be done. Once you accept the fact that your emotions are open and that you are willing to love, then allow yourself to go. Yes, you open yourself up to being hurt. Yes, you open yourself up to all the negative possibilities. But you also open yourself up to everything you want that love has to offer.
Yeah, true.
As very far true. As the me part, as a man, allow that to die. Me dies when we become one. It's no longer me. It's we. My focus is on we now. I learned to be patient.
True.
I learned to not be self-feeling. Self-seeking.
Self-seeking, yeah.
I learned to put you first. That's how I become an effective leader in my marriage. By allowing myself to concentrate on your happiness. And just trusting the fact that God cares enough for me to give you the same motivation. By you, I mean the woman.
Yeah.
That's it. Outside of that, it ain't nothing else.
No more, no less.
Homeboy?
What you got, homeboy?
All I got is this. You cannot intellectualize love. And kill me. And bring the life weak.
Yeah.
And you do that by bringing God into your life.
I'm patting that. Kill me and bring the life weak.
Let we live.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, boys. We're going to close this thing out then. As always, we enjoyed it. We'll be back with you on Friday with a treat as always. With that being said, lock your doors and open your hearts to the Lord. It's hard, but it's fair. One love, JWJ. And unison, boys. T-O-A-D out.
from yourself. Can't run away from yourself. Can't run away from yourself. You're faster than something, 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 something you don't want nobody to know about. You're Mr. Lord, something wrong. What you must have done, you must have done something wrong. Why you can't find where you belong? Well, you're
running away.
Hey, no,
running away.
No, I'm not
running away.
No, don't say that. Don't say that, 'cause I'm
running
not running away.
Away.
To live with no strength,
running away.
Better to live in the house
running
than to
away.
Live in the house full of confusion. So
running
I
away.
Made my decision and I left you,
running
and
away.
Now you're coming to tell me that I'm
running away,
but it's not true.